knowledge fight. Dan and Jordan, I am sweating. KnowledgeFight.com. It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight. I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys. Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan.
Knowledge Fight.
I need money. Andy in Kansas. Stop it. Andy in Kansas. Andy. It's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan.
I love your work.
Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com. I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes. Like to sit around, worship at the altar of Selene, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Oh, indeed we are, Dan.
Jordan.
Dan.
Jordan.
Quick question for you.
What's up?
What's your bright spot today, buddy?
My bright spot today, Jordan, it's nice to be back in the saddle.
A pleasure.
My bright spot's a mixed bag.
Uh-oh.
So here's the situation.
You can't eat any more fucking mustard.
Well...
so sick of mustards.
Well, I have terrible news. In preparation for the year of the mustard,
yes,
I ordered a number of mustards.
Yes, yes, you did.
And I would like to say thank you. There are some people who have sent in mustards also. I don't like mustard. It turns out I like some mustard.
Right,
I like
right,
a deli
right.
mustard.
Sure.
I like a number of yellow mustards. They're a little bit boring and plain, but I still
right.
like them. I have liked some uh-huh. Dijon mustards,
right.
but some of them that I got, way too Dijon.
Don't like them.
No.
Do not like them at all.
No. So this calculation was very off.
Listen, once again, eyes being bigger than your stomach is, I think, a feature, not a bug.
I got very enthusiastic about mustard based on a couple of good ones that I tried, and now the batting average is atrocious, and I cannot yeah. imagine doing a
no,
year of this
I'm...
shit. So I'm calling off the
yeah,
year of the mustard.
Yeah, I think that's wise.
However,
yes.
there is
oh
big
my God.
News.
Here's the other
we
bat.
Are replacing it. The year of the mustard,
okay.
out the window,
right.
gone.
Gone.
But now, you know what we're doing?
What are we doing?
The dreamy, creamy summer.
Okay. All right.
Ice cream.
All orange creamsicles.
No, ice cream okay. novelties.
Ice cream novelties.
Yes.
Doing it for the summer.
Yep.
Dreamy, creamy.
Dreamy, creamy
Getting
summer.
Getting it done.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
I think it's going to be...
so dreamy, creamy.
It's going to be the best.
It's going to be great.
So it's starting on 420 still.
Okay. Well, yes. Yeah, yeah, naturally.
And I guess we'll go till 9/11.
Yeah.
420 to 9/11.
420 to 9/11. That makes the most sense of any stretch of dates I can imagine.
Yeah. So we'll have some more details about what this will entail on the next episode. But yeah, it's going to be ice cream novelties.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. That will be much easier to complete in a positive way.
Yeah.
For sure.
Many apologies to the people who have taken the time to send in mustards. If you'd like to send me a message, I will. Certainly repay you
in
some way.
Yeah. Your mustard.
Or make you something. I don't know. We'll do yes. something for you because it's very generous.
If you feel shortchanged by the year of the mustard, mm-hmm. please. That is not our intention at all.
I understand there's some enthusiasm. I just hope we can transition that into enthusiasm about the dreamy, creamy summer.
Well, I think ultimately, you know, wait. Gain might be an issue for the dreamy, creamy summer, so you're gonna have to.
I'm gonna have to get on the cardio a little bit.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
I think I'm gonna have to try to make sure I don't go too far.
Right. Right.
But
right.
Then again, I honestly, I don't think I eat all that healthy to begin with.
No, that is true.
This may
that
not be that big of a difference for me.
Fine. But here's what we do. We do this like the McDonald's every day for 30 days thing. You're going to need to go to a dentist regularly, like once a week checkups. How much ice cream have you eaten this week?
Mm.
Between 6 and 10 drinks per night, you know, like that kind of
thing. I'm going to go to a chiropractor who pretends to be a dentist.
Right, that's a good
and
idea.
A chiropractor who pretends to be a doctor.
Right.
And
right. And a dentist who does acupuncture.
Sure.
Yeah.
And a chiropractor who moonlights at McDonald's.
I think it's a good way to go.
So
we've got a crack team.
So this is, yeah, that's my bright spot,
okay.
is Dreamy Creamy Summer. coming to you now.
Wonderful.
What about you?
My bright spot is my little sister. She is having her first child.
Congratulations.
And she just did the gender reveal thing yesterday.
Did it start a fire?
It did not. They went straight with like cupcakes with a color of icing inside them or something.
Sure.
As opposed to my idea, which was, you know, M80s inside of a cupcake.
Right.
A flammable cupcake. End of pitch. Yeah. But yeah, so...
you don't think that's... I mean, I don't want to make you... talk bad about your sister, but you don't think that's a little tacky?
I think safety first.
Sure. No, I mean just the institution of gender reveal parties.
Yes, I despise them.
Okay.
I mean, I couldn't go because I was too busy slaving away in the podcast factory.
Uh-huh.
You know.
Were you?
Eh.
Oh, this was yesterday?
Yes, yeah.
Oh, spoiler alert, we recorded something yesterday.
Yeah. So, yeah, but anyways, it's a boy.
Oh.
So congratulations.
You're going to be an uncle.
Again, yeah.
You're already an uncle.
Yeah, I'll be uncle twice over next year already.
Twice uncled.
Two uncle additions to the next year.
How do you like it?
It's better than being a parent.
I would imagine.
Yep.
As somebody who is an uncle and not a parent, I can only speak from my experience that it seems like it's better than having a kid.
Way
a lot
better.
Less work.
Yeah.
Less responsibilities.
I like them. They're cute. I see them once every 6 to 12 months.
Hurrah.
Yeah.
So, Jordan, today we are getting back into some present day-ish Alex Jones.
All right.
You've been gone for a week. We kept the podcast factory running in your absence.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
Thank you to Amanda for coming in and having a chat.
I enjoyed that interview. I was sorry to miss it.
Yeah. So we have to check in on what happened while you were gone. And today we're going to be going over April 13th, 2022.
Mm-hmm.
That's Wednesday to you.
Oh.
Hey.
Nope. No,
hey.
No. We already have Dreamy Creamy. You get to keep that one.
I don't know.
I'm taking this one back.
April 13th, 2022. That's Wednesday to you.
Nope.
And I do the finger gun.
No, the finger gun, of course, you get to keep. Always.
Well, maybe it'll stick. We'll see.
I don't think so.
This is a fun... it's not fun, but it's an episode, and we'll get into it. But first, Jordan, let's say hello to some new folks who are wonks. So first, sneaky, snaky, little breaky, tomorrow's turtle soups today. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, that horse you rode in on. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Standing up for that horse that has been maligned by
yes,
Alex.
Yeah, yeah.
Next, Patrick. I'm not saying the drowned god is Cthulhu, but the drowned god is Cthulhu Ferguson. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, Scald. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, Chad and Matt at Evergreen. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And we got a couple of technocrats here to say hello to. So first, James Patterson. Yes, like the author. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk. And this person requested to be on the 666th episode, and I unfortunately missed their message. So, bleh, I'm a demon. It's the 666th episode all over again. Thank you, Paul in Kentucky. Not that asshole, Rand. You are now a technocrat.
I'm a policy wonk. I have risen above my enemies. I might quit tomorrow, actually. I'm just going to take a little breaky now. A little breaky for me. And then we're going to come back, and I'm going to start the show over. But I'm the devil. I got to be taken off here. I'm doing all this. Blah, 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 blah. Fuck you. Fuck you. I got plenty of words for you, but at the end of the day, fuck you and your New World Order, and fuck the horse you rode in on, and all your shit. Maybe today should be my last broadcast. I mean, maybe I'll just be gone a month, maybe 5 years. Maybe I'll walk out of here tomorrow, and you never see me again. That's really what I want to do. I never want to come back here again. I apologize to the crew and the listeners yesterday that I was legitimately having breakdowns on air. I'll be better tomorrow.
He's not much better.
Mm.
I don't think that this was as toxic an episode as I've heard.
Okay.
Which may be the highest praise I can really muster for Alex at this point.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
I don't think I wanted to rage quit at any point.
Okay. I
was bored at many points.
Sure. But, I mean, you know, you can't shoot for something outside of what's possible. Mm-hmm. So I think in Alex's position, achievable goals such as not forcing you to rage quit is something to be celebrated, right?
That might be in the, like, top 98th percentile or whatever of the show.
Yeah.
So anyway, here's an out-of-context drop here from today's show.
We ain't buying your chili.
Okay. All right. Calm down, man.
Okay.
Calm down.
All right.
I'm still chili here.
Sir, this is literally a Wendy's.
Yeah. We have chili on sale. You prefer a Baconator. I get it. So we start off the episode, and Alex is covering the subway shooting in New York. That is kind of the big news here. And Alex has a take. He's got a take.
Let me just give you a quick rundown of the incredible stories. We have the corporate press in overdrive, scrambling hysterically, trying to hide the fact that the New York City subway shooter was targeting white people because he believed they needed to die. And then he also wanted to kill black people that married outside of the African bloodline. Obviously, completely mentally ill, out of his mind from his postings. I've watched several of the videos this morning.
So Alex isn't totally off base here, but there's a couple of important distinctions that need to be made between what Alex is saying and what information is known. It is true that the alleged subway shooter, Frank James, had a history of posting disturbing, often hateful, and violent videos on YouTube. He had a serious problem with New York's public health system, particularly the mental health system, having claimed that he was mistreated at a city facility. He also did have some distaste for white people, but Alex is conveniently leaving out the racist shit he posted about many other groups, including black people. That being said, it's pretty clear from his videos that he was strongly opposed to white people, he was worried about a coming race war, and was mentally unwell. And he was mad at Ketanji Brown Jackson because she's married to a white man.
Yeah.
So that's what Alex is referring to there.
Yeah.
However, there are these distinctions that are important. This is a very possible motivation for his shooting, and it may well turn out that that's the case, but Alex doesn't know that when he's reporting this. This is an assumption that Alex is making, and whether he was motivated by a racial hatred doesn't mean that he was trying to kill white people in the subway.
Right.
There is a distinction there that is, there's a meaning to it, although it's maybe slightly academic.
Right. No, I understand what you're saying.
The second point is probably more important, and that's how you can see that when there's a black shooter who appears to be motivated by a hateful ideology, they're making decisions, and they are actual criminals. Compare this to the way that Alex covers countless white mass shooters like Dylan Roof or James Holmes, and you see a clear distinction. When the shooter is white, there's a grand conspiracy about how he was brainwashed and basically just a blunt instrument being used by the globalists, while if the shooter is not white, it may be some kind of a conspiracy still, and they may be not well, but they have control over their actions.
Yeah.
There's a reason that they're doing what they're doing.
Yes.
That motivates their actions as opposed to, like, they were Jolyon West brainwashed him at an Air Force facility or whatever.
Just, you know, saying out loud, you can judge this person as bad. You cannot judge the white person as bad because their actions were outside of their control.
Well, you can judge them as bad,
Yeah, exactly.
The third point I would bring up is that Alex is just making up an idea that the media is covering up Frank James' previous social media releases. On this very day of this episode, April 13th, there was an article in the New York Times titled, quote, suspect drifted from city to city as his videos hinted at violence. This Times article offers a more nuanced perspective on James' videos and how he wasn't just someone who hated white people. That variable is the only thing that's important to Alex, so that's how InfoWars reports it compared to this from the Times. Quote, he seems to have been more focused on his YouTube account, where the videos he posted frequently devolved into outbursts of homophobia, misogyny, and offensive comments about black people, Hispanic people, and white people. Mr. James, who is black, directed much of his hatred towards black people, who he often blamed for the way they were treated in the United States.
Sure.
The article goes on to say, quote, he expressed admiration for black trailblazers like Martin Luther King Jr. and President Barack Obama, but unleashed vitriol on other black people, including Daunte Wright, who was killed by a police officer in Minnesota last year, and other young black men shot by the police. He blamed them for their own deaths, saying, "You play stupid games, you win a stupid prize," and adding that they deserve to be shot.
Yeah, that's so different from what Clarence Thomas believes.
Or Alex.
Yeah.
There's a big article about the videos and his social media posts in Rolling Stone, and it's a story that was covered in countless other outlets. The point here is that there absolutely was no desperate cover-up of this subject matter, and it's important to understand what Alex means when he says that. When Alex alleges a cover-up, what he's saying is that other outlets don't have the same angle on the story that he does, and anyone whose narrative is different than Alex is covering something up. So when Alex says that there was a shooting that was entirely and centrally around a hatred of white people, if you're a listener and you encounter another outlet discussing the broader hatred and anger James was trafficking in, you'll be far more likely to see that as the media trying to blur the real truth of the story, which Alex is reporting accurately.
Yeah. Look, they're trying to both sides it. They're trying to make it look like, oh, this isn't just about how much he hates white people. And by extension, because as obviously we know, you can paint an entire group by the actions of one individual, especially one who is incredibly mentally unwell.
This is just another critical aspect of Alex's early game. When there's stories breaking and there aren't a lot of concrete details known about the situation, he'll pretty much always accuse an unspecific group like the MSM, the media, of engaging in a cover-up. It never actually has to be true, because the effect he's looking for is to make the audience distrustful of any story that doesn't match his narrative, and warning of some imaginary cover-up does that perfectly well. It doesn't have to have any bearing on reality. Also, there's just a trope among racists that black crime is being covered up while white crime is overreported, and Alex is definitely playing that game here, too.
Yeah, totally.
That's some of the introductory pieces that
it is a little bit wild to hear Alex's take on that when there is, I mean, you can pull, if you pulled transcripts of Alex's videos and that guy's videos, there are plenty of situations where you wouldn't be able to tell who said what.
I imagine maybe there's some optics differences in terms of the way things are being expressed, but yeah, I would imagine there's a lot of similar ideas. Like James in his videos was, you know, concerned about a coming race war.
Yeah.
And Alex and his guests talk about that all the goddamn time.
All the goddamn time.
So,
what are you going to do?
Yep. So, I think that Alex thinks that he's taking a little bit of a moral high ground here.
Sure.
By being like, we don't blame all black people for this shooter who was black.
Right. Okay.
Great. Cool.
We don't blame black people for what he did. We don't blame someone for the color of their skin for what somebody else with the same skin has done. But the media does when it's Dylann Roof, also completely mentally ill, also mumbling incoherently and saying similar things, but from a white perspective, when he went into an innocent black church and killed 9 people at point blank range, injured others, every white person in America was guilty and every gun owner was guilty. The corporate media told us for months and beat us over the head with it. We don't blame white people for what that deranged, mentally ill person did. The answer is arming churchgoers, having armed deacons, and that's been stopping these shooters dead in their tracks.
It's really funny for Alex to pretend that he had an evolved response to the Dylann Roof shooting. His immediate response was that if Roof wanted to actually kill black people, he should have become an abortion doctor, which weirdly he isn't saying about Frank James, which I find very strange.
Yeah.
You know, why wouldn't he say if he wanted to kill white people, he should have become an abortion doctor? Or don't white people get abortions?
No, I guess it doesn't seem that Alex would really think of it that way.
Huh.
Yeah.
You know, he's a little glib when the victims are racially targeted because they're black.
Yeah.
InfoWars' own reporting from 2015 actually undercuts Alex's entire point here. There was no mass blaming of white people for Roof's actions. There was a deep trauma that had been caused by a person who acted specifically out of racist hate, and a conversation was needed about how that hate is more prevalent than most people want to admit, and this is where it leads a lot of the time. When I say that InfoWars' own reporting contradicts Alex, what I mean is that just after the shooting, Alex sent Ja'Kari Jackson down to Charleston, expecting to find chaos and people fighting. Alex was spouting his normal race war fears, but when Ja'Kari got there, he found a community coming together to heal. People of all ages, races, and backgrounds were embracing and supporting each other. Here is a clip from his reporting.
Walked out now, it's about 11:40. They also had loudspeakers for the people who couldn't get inside. They were out here listening. And whether you were inside or outside, it was pretty hot. I don't know if the AC was broken or if they didn't have one, but a lot of people had fans and water. But it's still good. You know, we were in there sweating, but everybody was enjoying the service. It was a I guess, a brief message that the preacher brought, but it was a lot of praise and worship. You know, it's really good vibe. You know, I keep saying about this, people of all, you know, races, colors, ages, all that.
You would not be surprised to learn that Jakari didn't do too much more reporting from Charleston, because a community coming together to reject racism and show that they're stronger than the hate that motivated Dylann Roof, that's not a story that's very interesting for InfoWars.
No.
Not profitable.
No, we're going to leave that one alone.
Also, fuck the idea of having armed pastors. When that's something you're sincerely suggesting, you need to stop a minute and consider that the problem may be way more serious than you're acting, like it is. It's bad enough that rhetoric around arming teachers has become so normalized, but the idea that religious leaders should be armed is so painfully depressing that it seems to be missing the mark entirely. It just feels like Alex wants to live in a world that's basically just that LP video for Deep Space 9mm, where everybody's just casually pointing guns at each other.
Just everybody point a gun at everybody else all the time.
It'll keep the peace.
I mean, it'll do something.
The most high-profile case I think Alex could be referring to here is the Sutherland Springs church shooting back in 2017, but that wasn't stopped by an armed deacon or somebody in the congregation being armed. Stephen Williford was the guy who shot the shooter there, and he was at home when the shooting started, and he only responded after his daughter told him that she'd heard gunshots and he came to the church. Right. Like, he wasn't an armed preacher.
Right.
In 2021, an armed man took over a church pulpit in Nashville, and the pastor in that case was able to disarm him, but he didn't use a gun. The pastor just tackled him from behind before he was able to shoot anyone. In that case, I would suspect that if the gunman had been confronted by someone with another gun, you would end up putting a ton of churchgoers in a much more dangerous position, where there could end up being exchange of fire, people could be shot accidentally. You, as the preacher, might accidentally shoot one of your churchgoers and congregation. It's nonsense. It's not a solution to the problem, but it's Alex's solution.
It would be very hard for a pastor or a priest of the like who believes what they believe sincerely to want to kill somebody as opposed to lay down their own life.
Right.
Instead. Well, a pastor would rather be killed to save the murderer's life than otherwise.
That
is the point.
That may be an idealized situation, but yeah, I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
I think there's something to that. I read some story too, like I was looking for instances of this happening, and there was a case of a pastor, I can't remember where, but he gave a sermon and then he went to a Walmart and there was a shooter and he ended up having a gun and shooting the shooter. So it was a pastor shooting a guy with a gun,
right.
But it wasn't at the church, so I didn't think it was
super
relevant to this.
Right.
But his take on it was that it was a deeply traumatic experience and he hated doing it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I can't imagine how much worse it would be if you're in your church, like how traumatizing it would be. I mean, granted, having a shooting at a church just in general would be traumatizing no matter what.
I think shooting is bad. I mean, how is it we get to this level? America's so fucked up we get to this level we need to granularly argue about what types of shootings are a problem.
We're three stages past where a rational conversation is
absolutely.
Happening.
Absolutely.
All right.
That's what is important about what Alex is doing towards this subway shooter, is he does not give a shit about the victims or about solutions or about trying to avoid it. This is entirely in service of saying this is happening, so that's why it's okay for Dylann Roof, or why we shouldn't feel bad about Dylann Roof. Like, this is all in service of making it okay for white people to do, or at least to
equivocating
excuse it.
In some
way. Absolutely.
Yeah, and that's why Alex is trying to make this entire thing about Dylann Roof.
Ugh.
Here it is. Inside Frank James chilling bullet and body bags post before subway shooting, this person of interest says, we're in World War III. I came face to face with the mumbling Brooklyn subway shooter. New York Post has a witness talking about it. Didn't even know really where he was or what he was doing. Full on lunatic land, just like Dylann Roof. Didn't know who he was and was gibbering to police. But that was in the back of the paper with him. No, it was all premeditated and it was all white people's fault. That's the reason this happened. No, it is not my fault when somebody that looks like me does something wrong. It's my fault when I do something wrong. But see, authoritarians always blame whole groups. That's what the left does. They're sick and they're evil.
Alex is mad.
Yes. I think, obviously, the conclusion that I came to from this subway tragedy is that the left is evil.
All right. And don't blame me for Dylann Roof.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
That was my first thought.
All right, guy, calm
in
down.
In reaction to this specific scenario.
You might be bringing a lot of baggage to this conversation.
Yeah.
So the New York Post story that Alex is citing doesn't say that the shooter didn't know where he was. The witness just said, quote, "I looked at him and I thought to myself he was talking to himself for like a while. So I looked at him and I was like, this guy must be on drugs." That's what he, that's the, what Alex is extrapolating out to.
Right.
He didn't know where he was or whatever.
Right.
Also, Dylann Roof didn't say a bunch of gibberish during his killing spree. He showed up to a Bible study and was welcomed in by the churchgoers. He sat there with them for almost an hour before gunning down nine people in cold blood while they prayed. I know that Alex is trying to grasp at straws to make this story somehow about himself, but this is some shameful shit. You can tell, though, he's mad, and I think I know why. In the aftermath of the Charleston shooting, people didn't blame all white people in the same way that in the aftermath of the subway shooting, people aren't blaming all black people. However, Alex is a flagrant racist, so he experienced the conversations after Charleston as an attack on white people and himself in particular. He only felt that way because that's how he experiences reality, and then he went out looking for tweets and blog posts that would back up his persecution fantasies. Mm. You know, some stray tweet of someone blaming white people or something.
Yeah.
In this current situation, things are a little bit different. Because Alex isn't experiencing the coverage of this shooting as an attack on himself and his own identity, he's not looking for a defense of that narrative in the same way. As was the case with the Charleston shooting, people aren't using the shooting to condemn an entire race, so this becomes a situation where there's a media cover-up. And what's the media allegedly covering up? Alex's narrative that this shooting was an attack on all white people, and thus we've come full circle. And every event in the news is understood only through the filter of how it's proof of how Alex's particular identity is under attack specifically.
Mm-hmm.
The obsession with talking about this only through the prism of Dylann Roof, that shooting, is pretty telling, I think. I would say that it's a tell.
I mean, well, it does seem like you can very quickly work backwards from that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's go to, let's say, the human race, one by one, and ask them just pure, what is your first word association game? Only Alex is going to come up with Dylann Roof.
Sure. And you know what I kept thinking about, too, when I was listening to this? Like, Alex is saying, like, in 2015, whenever that the Charleston shooting happened, everyone blamed all white people. I just keep thinking of the multiple times in these depositions that people like Alex and Owen Schroyer have been asked directly, what are your examples of calling for gun control after mass shootings?
Yeah.
And they can come up with nothing.
Yep.
I would guarantee that Alex could not come up with anything other than a general feeling that he had that people were blaming all white people. And that comes down to his own identity fears and victimhood and persecution obsession.
Yeah.
That's what he's talking about.
Yeah. I mean, ultimately, it could be seen to me that he believes that white people are at fault for things, have something coming to them, and is reacting so negatively because he wants to try and avoid that outcome.
You can psychoanalyze him all you want. I think you've breached the Goldwater rule. So I'll pull you back a little bit.
All right, fine.
So Alex spends a lot of time on this episode complaining about CNN Plus.
Sure.
It's apparently a new streaming service that CNN
Plus
has launched.
A thing that roughly 10,000 people have subscribed to.
Alex brings up that number a bunch.
Right, right, right. Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you're going to dance on a streaming service, I think CNN Plus is a good queeby way to go.
Yeah, he's very much like, they spent so much money on it and no one's watching. Ha, I'm better than them.
I mean, hey, I'm fine with that.
It's a little navel-gazy.
Sure.
A little bit.
Sure.
But he spends so much fucking time on this.
We operate on $25 million a year. We have to sell $60 million worth of product on average to be able to then get money to fund ourselves. To break even, we got to sell $60 million worth of product. And some years we have it. But I did things like take some of the money we raised in the years and invest it in real estate to be able to then sell that real estate when I knew I'd need it down the road to dump it back in the operation. And I've already done that. So I'm down to my last chips here. But not because we're not popular. Imagine this. We're operating on something 27 million a year. We're operating on $27 million a year with our own servers, own satellites, own crew, own legal, with all the attacks, our own infrastructure. And CNN Plus launched with $400 million and has less than 10,000 viewers a week. You could start a cooking show yourself on YouTube, and if it's half decent, within a week, you'll have 10,000 views guaranteed.
Well, that's not true.
I mean, a dead cat could get more viewers with a webcam on it in the middle of the street than CNN can. Everyone can't stand CNN. What did old Joe Rogan say about it?
Okay, look, this is important stuff, obviously, covering CNN Plus not being very popular.
Sure.
I don't know who's watching. Like, is Alex watching live streams of dead cats?
I mean, well, at least 10 to 12,000 people are, I assume.
Yeah. I think he might have a skewed version of how difficult it is to crack into the attention sphere.
Yeah. No. It's real easy. If you have a cooking show
that's
and
halfway
you're
decent.
Halfway decent,
yeah.
Within a week, tens of thousands of people will find you.
Mm-hmm.
There's a dearth of halfway decent cooking shows on YouTube.
I think he doesn't realize how ignorable he would be if he wasn't this deep in his career.
Yeah.
If he hadn't started prior to YouTube,
totally.
And hadn't started like way back, if he wasn't grandfathered in, no one would give a shit about his dumb show.
Nope.
This is like, it's such a stupid source of information. And honestly, I think in the absence of Alex, someone else might be as good of a showman as him, but
absolutely,
maybe,
absolutely.
I don't know. I'm not sure how attractive his program could be if it wasn't him. Like, try and imagine this appearing out of nowhere.
Right.
No one gives a shit.
Right.
There's crazier stuff. There's more interesting stuff. No.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a little bit like the comedy, the pre-internet, you know, of like there are so many gatekeepers before the internet that there is no way to break in unless you knew people.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of kept things much more homogenized, and it kept people from experimenting in a lot of really interesting ways. And
sure.
Then all of a sudden the internet comes along and you could be a mediocre white dude comic and have a very good career, and then the internet hit, and it's like, oh, there's a lot of mediocre white dude comics around.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I should work hard.
But yeah. At the same time, everybody can put out a ton of stuff.
Totally.
And so it's probably as hard or harder with the amount of stuff that people can put out
totally.
To get any kind of traction or attention.
Absolutely.
As good of a comic as you are, there's 100,000 of you.
It just as good, yeah. If not better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And even if you're doing something wildly creative, guess what? There's a lot of other people who are doing wildly creative things too.
And it could just come down to like, oh, well, people didn't see you at the right time. You know, like,
my point is that Alex sucks.
Alex sucks.
And his show has no value if it wasn't him.
Yeah.
But you know who does have some value?
Who?
Elon Musk.
Nope. Disagree.
Massive
strong
censorship
disagree.
News. Elon Musk battling back. I've got the inside baseball on that a while back, but I've been asked not to say anything about it. That's why I told you about a year ago. I said Musk claims he's going to take on the New World Order. I don't know if that's true. I've been on the fence about the guy, but now he's starting to prove himself. And he lives right here in Austin. I'll just leave it at that. And I run with people that run with him on a weekly basis. And that's just what I've been told. So you're actually seeing what I was told was going to happen.
Yeah, Elon Musk pretending he's going to buy Twitter is battling the New World Order.
Yep. Doesn't get more tip of the spear than pretending to buy Twitter.
Yep. And possibly getting investigated by the SEC.
Yeah, again, for crimes that we all know he commits that he just doesn't get punished for because consequences are anathema to the wealthy.
Quite a battle he's raging.
Oh, he's going to save us.
Yep. So Alex is known as being very credible and he's taken very seriously by what he would describe as intellectual circles.
Sure.
InfoWars is doing the most important work it's ever done, and I'm always up here having to scrabble to get money just to stay on the air when we're having our most important work ever and become more authoritative and more influential in intellectual circles around the world. So your investment in InfoWars is always paying off in freedom and liberty and awakening, and it's paying off better day by day. It's like a pregnancy that's 8.5 months in. You're about to get the baby. It's about to be healthy. All the work's coming in now. We're in the birth pains. But I can tell you, I have almost spent half the reserve money I have that was just like $4 million. For a company this important, that was nothing. I had $4 million 5 months ago, and I got $2.3 million right now. So I guess half almost. And those are my underages. And we need everybody we've got working here, and I'm not bitching or complaining, but why should we have layoffs when everything we said is coming true and we're winning? I've got all the Democrat lawsuits coming to a head with trials this summer. I got to pay for all that. I got judges doing all these fake sanctions on me massively that top law firms say they've never seen that, and they break the law, but if I don't pay them, they'll have me arrested. I mean, we're under massive attack because we've entered the thick of the battle, the key gladiatorial event that's going to decide so much. So now your whole investment could really be damaged in liberty if you let them take down this standard of freedom. I need everybody seriously to get off the fence and go to InfoWarsStore.com.
That is about the most concretely I've heard him express, I need you to pay my legal fees.
Yeah, yep.
That is about as blunt as it's been. The, like, look, I'm going to get hit with some really big fines coming up soon.
Oh, yeah.
I need your help.
This is going to be a bad summer, guys. Do you want me to be around? You're going to have to pay for it.
Alex is going to have a bad summer. I'm going to have a dreamy, creamy one.
Yeah, that's how it's going to go. We're going to sit here and eat ice cream as Alex pays out the butt.
Yep.
That's the plan.
Yep. Whatever he gets fined, that's how many ice creams I will eat.
No.
We might have to divide.
Type 2 diabetes isn't a death sentence, Dan.
So here Alex gets back to some conversations about the New York subway shooting, and he really, really gets pretty fucked up and racist here.
Dylan Roof, Charleston, 2015 in June, he goes into an innocent black church of people he never met and didn't know, who'd done nothing to him, and he shot more than 15 people, killing 9. And they reported, well, the police said that he was gibbering incoherently and appeared to be schizophrenic. That matter, they said all white people were to blame and that all gun owners were to blame. No, I'm not to blame, and white people are not to blame. This lunatic is to blame. Just like the New York subway shooter, Frank James, who shot more than 16 people, many in critical condition, is a black nationalist, like Waukesha parade killer, recently released video manifesto, posted video of the new Supreme Court justice saying he doesn't like her because she's married to a white person. Another gibbering, crazy lunatic. Do we blame black people? No, we don't blame black people. But who do we blame? We blame the corporate media, and we blame the establishment stirring up all this hate, and we blame them covering up the fact that black-on-white crime is at least 10 times white-on-black crime, because the media promotes that white people are bad and deserve to be mugged and attacked, and many black leaders, even where I live in Texas, say, don't rob in your neighborhood, go rob white people. How about you don't rob or kill anybody? How about that?
Whoa, seems like that clip took an intensely racist turn at the end.
Yeah.
You kind of got the feeling that Alex was doing everything in his power to stop himself from saying, how about you don't rob anyone, black people?
Yeah, you know, here's what I would say. I would say that all black people have standing to sue Alex for defamation there, because we know that that is not true.
Mm-hmm.
There's no such thing as black people committing 10 times more crime on white people. Right. That's not a thing.
Right. We'll discuss this here.
Yeah.
But the first problem is that Dylan Roof didn't injure more than 15 people.
No.
He killed 9 and injured 1 additional person. Bigger issue, though, Alex has these crime statistics entirely wrong, like you're referencing. And it's literally just repeating inaccurate racist propaganda. This conclusion that black-on-white crime is 10 times higher than white-on-black crime is reachable when you don't factor in population ratios and other factors into your analysis. And this is a standard trick that white nationalists and white supremacist groups have used for decades to foment fear of black people as dangerous criminals.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about this racist myth a bit in the past and how telling it is that Alex thinks it's reality, so I'm not going to dive into that fully again, but this actually leads me to an important point. Alex is trying to use some kind of illusion that all white people were blamed for the Charleston shooting in order to frame his coverage of the New York subway shooting. Instead of blaming all black people, Alex has decided what he's going to do is blame the media for covering up that black-on-white crime is 10 times higher than white-on-black crime in order to make black people feel like they should attack white people. That's what he wants the media to be apparently doing. Mm-hmm. This is literally what Dylann Roof wrote in his manifesto about why he decided to carry out the Charleston shooting. This is from his manifesto that was published on his website, The Last Rhodesian. Quote, "The event that truly awakened me was the Trayvon Martin case. I kept hearing and seeing his name, and eventually I decided to look him up. I read the Wikipedia article, and right away I was unable to understand what the big deal was. It was obviously Zimmerman was in the right. But more importantly, this prompted me to type in the words black-on-white crime into Google, and I have never been the same since that day. The first website I came to was the Council of Conservative Citizens. There were pages upon pages of these brutal black-on-white murders. I was in disbelief. At this moment, I realized that something was very wrong. How could the news be blowing up this Trayvon Martin case while hundreds of black-on-white murders got ignored?" Alex is using the image of Dylann Roof to somehow justify his racist response to the New York subway shooting, but the truth is that Alex is Dylann Roof. Alex is disseminating the exact same false racist propaganda that inspired Dylann Roof to commit the mass murder of 9 people praying in a church specifically because they were black. Alex is spreading the same information to his audience, potentially sending other impressionable listeners down a path that may not lead to murder, but definitely leads to overt racism. And I find it difficult to believe that he doesn't know what he's doing. He has had plenty of time to figure out that this is an incorrect racist myth, and he yep. either doesn't care, or he knows that it is, and he still perpetuates it. So fuck him.
Yeah, yeah. That's great. That is great. I mean, wow. In response to this mass shooting that I think was racially motivated, let me quote the Dylann Roof.
Yeah, let me essentially paraphrase his manifesto.
Let's not do that. There's zero times when it's a good idea to paraphrase
manifesto. We see that quite a bit. I mean, you see when we did that episode on Anders Breivik, you see yeah. how similar a lot of Alex's rhetoric is to the things that were inspiring to him yep. in his manifesto. Mm-hmm. And this is true of other people who've been inspired by the great replacement conspiracy theories. That certainly made a appearance in a number of manifestos, and,
right.
and Alex's coverage is identical.
Well, because
it's just a reality of this.
But I mean, it's the point. You know, you can't say stochastic terrorism enough whenever the point is to create an environment or a reality wherein it is justifiable to commit those acts of mass atrocities. So regardless of whether or not Alex, quote unquote, wants them to happen, by disseminating this bullshit, you are trying to make them happen.
Well, and you're increasing the likelihood that people will find places that have even more extreme versions
totally.
Of these racist talking points and myths
yep.
Online if they search these things out, and they'll become deeper radicalized.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a path that someone responsible would
absolutely.
Go down.
Well, to put it simply, his response to a mass shooting, of which there are just an unconscionable number, is to say things that will inspire another mass shooting.
Or at least definitely have.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I mean, look, I think obviously this is maybe beside the point, maybe a trivial issue. This is the kind of thing that would get somebody fired at a regular
yeah.
job.
Yes, absolutely.
Just the, like, repeated insistence of these black on white crime
yeah,
stats.
Absolutely.
That would get you fucking fired so fast.
100%.
And he doesn't have to worry about that. No boss.
Nope.
Anyway, Alex has got some information wrong about the Frank James
That's
situation.
Surprising.
Kill all whitey. Suspect in Brooklyn subway shooting spouted hateful black nationalist rhetoric. Praised beautiful 9/11. Turns out he was on an FBI terror list, and that agents had tried to investigate him, but the investigation was killed.
There was no investigation that was killed. Alex is making that up. There were some inaccurate reports that Frank James was formerly on the FBI watch list, but it turns out it was a different person named Frank James. This is a mistake someone could make, but what Alex is doing isn't the same thing. He's taking this inaccurate reporting and then building a conspiracy on top of it. Not only was he formerly on this watch list, but someone in the FBI killed an investigation into him. Now, why would they do that?
Mm-hmm.
Why would they do that? Nothing Alex says means anything. You know, he takes mistakes or things he makes up and then makes up stuff on top of them. It's all just bullshit.
Yep. Yeah, you can make a mistake if you're like, oh, I found on this former watch list Frank James. Could this be the same person?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody could be, you know, why not? Why not say that? Now, obviously, there's a million Frank Jameses out there.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you then add, like, and because I saw this possible name that matches on this thing, clearly the president assassinated his dad.
Right. Agents tried to investigate him and then the investigation was killed.
Totally.
Is pulled entirely from Alex's imagination.
Mm-hmm.
And just total bullshit. So another thing that Alex is writing elaborate fantasies about is the case of the Whitmer kidnappers.
Right.
But see, the wheels are coming off. The Whitmer fraud. Millions and millions spent going out and canvassing Michigan to find mainly young white men who came from fatherless homes who were looking for male role models and who were upset about the decline of America and wanted to train with firearms to be basically in the military without joining. And they typecast, they spent years setting them up, they activated them and ordered them. The FBI was recorded this themselves, it got into evidence. Ordered them to attack Whitmer's house, ordered them to kidnap her, ordered them to cut her head off. And they're on tape. No, no, I don't want to. But the FBI agents and informants muscle them and command them and order them to at least show up and run around at night in the bushes by her house. So they could then say she was a victim when people wanted to impeach her during the lockdowns. And the same FBI team that did that then ran January 6th.
This is a fun scene from a movie or something, but this isn't accurate.
Yeah.
Two of the four defendants in the case were acquitted, and the jury was unable to reach a verdict for the other two. If they had audio even close to what Alex is describing, this never would have even gone to trial. Also, Alex is conveniently ignoring the fact that two conspirators pled guilty already.
Sure.
And there are eight other people facing state charges that are yet to go to court. This is not the situation is not what Alex is describing, although there are problems, and I think the issue, generally speaking, is that the FBI rushed this case. They jumped too early for the arrest, as the plotting that was going on wasn't solid enough for them to likely get charges to stick. As it stands now, it's too easy for the defense attorneys to portray what was going on as just some dudes talking shit. And it also doesn't help that there were multiple moles in the group, since that does lend itself to the impression that the FBI was running the whole thing, but that's not borne out by the information that is available. Also, but it's just fun. This like, it's in the evidence that you go in there, you cut her head off.
Yeah, you know, that's the FBI's own fault, though. If they hadn't built a reputation for doing that adjacent behavior in the past,
whether or not
it's an all the time thing or anything like that, but you do it one time, it's there.
I don't have necessarily a problem with some skepticism surrounding this, and I also don't think that there's an absence of criticism that is merited, but
totally.
I don't think that the claims that Alex is making are defensible.
No, 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 no. Agreed.
Play that audio, Alex. It came out in evidence. It's public.
Yeah, I mean, it's the Watergate, the Whitmergate tapes.
Sure.
Yeah, that's what we'll do.
Go run around in the bushes.
hey, go attack her in the bushes. Ah! You ever see Hot Shots Part 2?
So, look, the same people who did that did January 6th.
Obviously.
And Alex has decided he's going to have a little...
Wait, so Alex is very conveniently forgetting that all of his buddies have been...
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
just wanted to be...
No, that's faded into the background.
So is he saying then that Stuart Rhodes works for the FBI?
That's an interesting syllogism. I don't know. Maybe that's a conclusion you could make.
Yeah, I think maybe.
But anyway, Alex is going to have a parlay with the FBI.
That's why the FBI comes to talk to you about January 6th. As is being set up right now for me to do. I'm doing a proffer. I'm gonna talk to him. Did nothing wrong. The whole big team wants to come in here and talk to me. I'm like, okay. And I'm going to sit there and ask him, hey, how about I interview you and ask you guys a little bit of questions here? I mean, you want to know who the main suspects are who ran this thing? I mean, it's your bosses. It's your ass sitting in that seat. I mean, it's upside down world here, Jack.
Yeah, come on, Jack. That's Biden's word.
Hey, FBI, how about we turn these tables around? Now you're under investigation.
Yeah. That's going to work well.
Yeah, that happens every time.
I'm going to guess Alex is going to be more like, yes, sir, I don't know anything.
Play this out. Okay, you say to the FBI, all right, I've turned the tables. I'm investigating you.
I think they would laugh.
How does that, are they going to be like, what? Nobody's ever done this before. Do we just run away?
Oh my God, you're so manly. This is terrifying. You're clearly not scared of me.
Sir, your penis is too big.
Yeah, nonsense. So Alex's whole thing is like they want violence going into the midterm. These Democrats, because globalists are just Democrats now.
Yeah.
So they want violence going into the midterms. So that's the only way they're going to win. And so this shooting on the subway, staged. But also maybe not staged.
What?
But maybe it's staged.
Okay.
Also maybe it's not.
Could not be.
So they want violence going into this midterm. Here's a headline, Democrat death march to November, town hall. And it just says every poll shows the biggest landslide in U.S. history. Well, Trump won the huge landslide, and he won the second time in a landslide. They stole it. And they're planting false flags to blame the American people and stir up a race war. As I've pointed out, you will see mass shootings in subways and in churches and in colleges and in schools and at shopping malls. I've been saying it every day for the last few months. That all they got to do is know about schizophrenics that are out there and give them weapons and encourage them and then turn the cameras off. As they did in New York yet again. And I'm not saying it's staged, but we know the FBI was told, knew about him, and the higher-ups didn't let him stop him.
So maybe it is staged. Maybe it is all set up in a false flag, but also maybe it's not.
Okay. So it wasn't staged.
Oh, what?
Well, the FBI did know about it and they did have control.
Which isn't true.
Okay, but they... But it could have been true.
It could have been true. And if it is, then it's probably staged. Yes.
But it's not true.
No.
But it could be.
But it may not be.
Well, you don't know.
Who knows? This is worthwhile.
Yes. Yeah. Good work.
Yeah. Also, that Democrat death march to November is a op-ed in Town Hall by Kurt Schlichter.
Oh,
so
okay.
I don't care.
Yeah.
It's not an analysis of all these deep polls.
No.
It's a guy who worked for Breitbart.
Oh, well,
Andrew Breitbart, not just Breitbart.
It does seem like he would be, let's say, unbiased.
Certainly.
Yeah.
I think this is just dumb.
You know what's here's what's crazy to me. This is a prime strategic opportunity to do the bare minimum of. Saying you're not racist, you know, you could be, if he was just like, this is exactly like Dylann Roof. Like, I mean, just like that. If he just equivocated them entirely,
I actually
and be like, I'm above this being about black people. It would be one. He's so racist. Well, he can't even do a slightly non-racist.
His past career would be a problem for that.
Right.
And then secondarily, I don't think that they're the same.
No, they're absolutely not the
and
same.
And I think it would maybe be racist to say that they're the same.
Absolutely would be racist to say the same. But in Alex's world, that would be like, see, it's not about race this time.
I honestly think that what you're describing is what he's trying to do or what he thinks he's doing.
You know what? You might be right. Oh, my God, you might be right.
Yeah.
This is the worst day of my life.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Well, I'd like to make your day better by having Alex tell you about a study that he didn't read.
Okay.
But I want to get to this right now. Study finds Florida handled COVID lockdowns better than New York and California. And, of course, the numbers are all there. I don't just believe this study. They have one of the lowest death rates in the country.
Yeah, so the way Alex is talking about this study, it's abundantly clear that he hasn't read the article under this headline. He has no idea what the study is. The headline itself is from the New York Post, and it reads, New York, California failed at handling COVID, but Florida was among best study. When you read the headline like that, it's probably a good idea to ask yourself two questions. The first is, how does this study define success in dealing with COVID? And the second is, who did this study?
Well, the thing about it was, and you wouldn't have seen this coming, but the measurement was how successful you were at getting around COVID restrictions. So Florida was the best at putting
jumping hurdles,
putting masks just a little bit below your nose. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
That would be an interesting study. It's not quite what this is. Mm. But I think in this case, answering the second question, who did the study, it helps you get halfway to answering the first question. This was a study done by the Committee to Unleash Prosperity, which is a nonprofit group dedicated to pushing policies that will ramp up economic growth.
If you are non-supervillain, you know there's really just one simple rule. Don't put unleash in your name. If you're a supervillain, that's where you put it.
Perhaps unsurprisingly, the committee's co-founders, Arthur Laffer and Stephen Moore, are economists with deep connections to the Koch networks and our board members for various wings within the American Legislative Exchange Council, sure, which is their way of putting policies around legislatures and what have you.
Also, oil is great.
Yes.
Yeah.
As you might expect, this is a study that is not primarily about mortality from COVID. It's an economic institution with strong right-wing bends putting out a paper meant to justify the argument that places that kept businesses open are better.
Sure.
To be clear, I think that New York and California and our beloved Illinois have a lot of valid criticisms that can come their way about handling COVID issues, but I'm not going to take a study from the Committee to Unleash Prosperity very seriously in terms of that argument, and Alex hasn't even read the article or the study.
Yeah. I am going to dismiss it out of hand.
I am too.
Nah.
Moving along. I think that didn't make your mood that much better.
Well, I mean, I do like the idea of more things being named Unleash. Yeah, like more charitable, like, oh, this is the National Center for Unleashing Vaccines on you. You know, like
that's... Alex would be scared of that.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's terrifying.
The Committee to Unleash the Kraken.
Yes, exactly.
So yeah. I'm going to make your day a little bit better.
Okay.
Here's Alex rambling about God's mind.
That's what I love.
Power of our source. Crystal. Our source is God. Our source is truth. Our source is the sacrifice, Christ. We receive it. And we join with our ancestors and our current brethren and those in the future in eternity. Because eternity is not enough.
Wait, what?
What is greater than eternity is unlimited eternities.
What?
And that is the beginning of the mind of God.
What?
Well, I want to take your calls from Chris, Michael, Alex, Rush, Brandon, Vern.
Oh my God.
Nobody does a better job of blending the ethereal with the pedestrian. I'm talking about infinite eternities within God's mind, and then immediately, I'm going to take your dumb calls.
The eternities beyond eternities, the eternities of eternities. Yes, I would like the dentine ice, please. Thank you very much.
Yep. So meaningless rambling about esoteric Christian ideas that he has.
Fun. You know, that's as close as we get in the present day to good old singing along with country music, I think. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Although I think that there are periodic times he sings along with country music, but it's so much more rare.
Yeah.
So Alex gives himself a little bit of a status report, checking in. You know, he doesn't have a boss, but sometimes you got to be your own boss.
Yeah, yeah. What's his grade for himself?
You think he did a good job.
Oh, okay, good.
Now, I did an okay job last hour. I hit the mentally ill, schizophrenic, black supremacist that went in there reportedly and shot all these people because they were white. Terrible situation. And it flies in the face of the FBI report of the last 2 years that white people are number one terror threat. That doesn't mean there aren't crazy white people that go around shooting black folks. Look at Dylan Roof and other cases. But the media is not going to stick the knife in and turn it and tell white people to hate black people like they would have done if a white person would have done this.
They didn't do that after the Charleston shooting. Are you saying they should be doing that now?
I believe
so.
This
is weird.
Yeah.
The ideas being expressed are really weird and kind of all over the place and just feel intensely racist.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard not to think that he really wants what he's saying to be true,
mm-hmm.
which I think is a weird headspace. You know?
That's kind of the feeling that comes across.
Yeah, like, I wish that people had said it was all white people's fault.
Well, no. And he does feel like they did.
Right. But I mean, like...
I think here's what I would say.
Yeah.
As opposed to wish, I think he's confused that people aren't blaming all black people for this.
Yeah, it really
does
seem...
That's kind of the way that I... That's the gap in how he's dealing with this that I feel is going on.
Yeah.
Because he feels and thinks that they did blame all white people after Dylann Roof, he's confused that no one's being racist enough
right.
or something.
Right. Shouldn't everybody be racist right now?
I think that's part
of
his confusion.
Yeah.
So Alex, like I said, he has not done a good job. A lot of it was complaining about CNN Plus, and he complains a little bit more. But Brian Stelter, Humpty Dumpty.
Okay.
This goes on too long.
Oh, boy.
No one can put CNN and MSNBC
in the corner
and the whole corporate media back together again.
Oh.
Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. And the greatest example of that is Brian Stelter, who is the living embodiment of Humpty Dumpty.
The greatest example.
So, Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty said we must censor them all. Humpty Dumpty said only I can speak.
No.
Humpty Dumpty
Tackle
was
him.
Ugly and had disgusting feet.
What?
Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. So what can they do?
So look, here's the thing. That the parody started okay.
Yeah.
I think he made one rhyme, and I think he thought he was fucking...
He was fire. Yeah. This is going to roll. My brain is just going to take me through to the break with this amazing rhyme that I'm coming up with.
Immediately falls apart with the...
Instantly.
We're the only ones who can speak being rhymed with had ugly feet.
Yep.
Have you seen Brian Stelter's feet,
Alex? I guess, maybe. Does he go on those websites? They're creepy websites, I'm sure.
Stelter on Wiki
Feet? Stelter's feet, yeah.
I don't know. I'm not going to look it up. But I think by the end, he's just reciting Humpty Dumpty.
Yeah.
It's not even like a parody.
Yep. Yeah.
I think he was like, ooh, I got much like Icarus. I
yes,
flew too close
exactly.
to the sun. I got to go back to Safe Harbor, but that was too long.
Yeah.
You got to commit to the parody or shut it down just by calling him Humpty Dumpty.
Right.
That's fine.
Right. Oh, man. It is. This is probably the most perhaps the closest that Alex and I can feel, because both of us have absolutely experienced this moment where the improv gun is empty.
You drop a riff on stage.
Yeah, and you're just like,
yep.
Whoa, this is me too, man.
I can't count the number of times that I was performing at the Laugh Factory. And like, first of all, someone like me does not belong on a stage like that where there's a 2-drink minimum. And
well, yeah, yeah.
It's just all dark, a sea of faces. So many times just be like some idea or some thought I have is like, and there's silence. I'm like... All right, next joke.
Okay.
Here we go.
All right. Yep.
That I can relate to that feeling a lot.
Oh, yeah.
It's not good, but I will say that I didn't then retreat to just reciting Humpty Dumpty.
No.
And I am proud of that.
No, part of the job is to overcome that.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, Alex wants to talk about Stelter some more.
You know, we always turn him into It the Clown, but It the Clown's almost more lovable than Brian Stelter.
Never going to not be It the Clown.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even fair to, like, make him turn into the clown on TV. It's better just to show his real face. Yeah. Please don't turn back into the clown. That's scarier looking than it, because that's real. Why would Time Warner, why would AT&T want to put that on TV? Because they want to force ugliness and evil and fraud and lies on you, because they're hunchbacked and they're ugly spiritually. And they like the fact that they're forcing their ugliness on us, their spiritual ugliness, their filth on us. I'm gonna stop ranting. I'm gonna go to your calls.
Gonna get to those calls. I gotta assume that there's some kind of internal metrics, and Alex knows that, like, when he complains about Stelter for long periods of time, it does numbers.
You think?
Or something. It has to be.
I don't know.
No other explanation for how often he does these riffs.
I mean, the man just hates Brian Stelter.
I think that could... I mean, that's obviously a part of it.
Sure. I just don't know. He's never given me anywhere near enough of Stelter's crimes to justify this level of hatred.
I think I saw somebody, one of our listeners, they posted like Stelter appears quite early in our show.
Yeah.
It has been since the beginning of this that he's been yelling about Brian Stelter.
It's so many years, and again, he hasn't even done anything.
I would argue that I wouldn't know his name if it weren't for Alex.
Guaranteed. 100%.
Yeah. I would maybe be able to recognize him as somebody who's on CNN.
Yeah.
But I would not know his name.
Never.
So congratulations, Alex, on exposing more people to Brian Stelter. So, Biden.
And assumably, It the Clown.
Biden has made some comments about guns in the aftermath of the subway shooting.
Right.
And Alex wants to really clown on him because for some reason Biden started talking about prostitutes in the middle of this talking about guns. He's crazy. He doesn't know where he is, man.
Okay.
Here's that clip.
All right.
But here's Biden can't even get it right when he's saying we need to go after gun manufacturers, and then he butchers it and brings in prostitutes somehow. Here it is.
And I said, what do you think the deer you're hunting wear Kevlar vests? What the hell you need 20 bullets for? You must be a hell of a terrible shot. I'm serious. Think about it. Think about the mass shootings. As many as 100 rounds. It's a weapon of war. There's nothing to do with recreation. Outright ban of the sale and possession of unserialized guns. Eliminate gun manufacturers' immunity from liability. They're the only outfit. They're the only outfit in the country that is immune. Imagine had the tobacco industry been immune to prostitute being sued. Come on.
Yep.
So you just misspoke.
Prosecution.
Right.
Instead of oh my God.
Yep.
Wow. This is as big as that Nancy Pelosi clip where she misspoke one time.
This is just the tip of the spear.
Huge.
This is big.
Having this clip now is the metaphorical smoking gun that proves Jim Carrey is Joe Biden.
I would say so.
Yeah, I don't think there's any other conclusion.
I think take Biden's comments however you will, or disagree with him.
Sure.
I don't think anybody who is acting from a position of sincerity could say, that wasn't just him misspeaking, saying prosecution.
Yeah.
That's pretty fucking clear.
Very similar.
And trying to make a bigger deal out of it seems desperate.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people did a lot of that with Trump stuff.
Sure.
I think sometimes his misspeakings might have been a little more funny. And I honestly think that if Alex was covering this, recognizing that he just misspoke and thought it was funny that that's the word that he said.
Yeah.
I don't think that would be anything even worth comment on.
No, that's sophomoric.
It's just that Alex thinks that, conceptually, Biden's bringing prostitution here.
Right.
And it's no, that's just, he just said the wrong word.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. The best you could do even then is he's not out of it. He's not scrambled. But he's not as quick as he used to be.
Sure.
And it's he's 85. Maybe we shouldn't have 85-year-old presidents. That's a fine conversation.
I think that angle makes more sense.
Yeah.
Anyway, Alex does finally get to calls. And he takes a call from a guy who believes that the subway shooting was a false flag.
Well,
Adam in New Jersey. Adam, thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Alex, it's a pleasure to be talking to you, man. Just want to let you know you are the tip of the spear. Thank you for everything that you do. I want to take up a little bit of your time, man. I live in Jersey, and I just feel like this whole thing going on in Brooklyn, it just seems all too convenient. We've seen this move by the globalists before. They overplay their hand, and then they go quickly to the other side. It's not adding up over here. And I just wanted to get your thoughts on
that. Well, give us your view on it, because conveniently, the camera failed. They said out of the thousands of cameras, that's the one area where they failed.
That's exactly what I'm saying. It seems too coincidental, and they just happened to find.
Well, you're not supposed to ask questions, sir. Just go back to sleep. Come on.
Yeah, that's my problem here. I'm awake.
There's a little bit of a misconception about what the actual story is relating to the cameras in the subway not working. According to officials who spoke to the New York Times, the issue was a faulty fiber optic cable that affected the station as well as two others nearby. However, this was not the case for all of the cameras in the stations. Tim Minton, the spokesperson for the Metropolitan Transportation Authority, said, quote, the suspect was able to be seen and movements evaluated with the MTA's assistance. He added that the cameras with malfunctioning feeds were located at turnstiles, quote, where they would not be in a position to capture any activity on the platforms below.
Right.
So it wasn't even affecting
right.
where they would have needed to be.
Right. Right. They were of no assistance. Yeah, anyway.
And despite those failings, they were still able to get eyes on Frank James.
Right,
so
right.
like the issue is kind
moot.
Of, well, it's maybe coincidental,
sure,
slightly interesting on some level, but it doesn't really affect the reality of what we're
right.
going on here.
What's important is just that Alex might as well have been like, oh, okay, the next caller is, well, I don't understand, Golf Wang Halbig. This is weird. Why are you, oh, it's a false flag? That's it's weird.
A more skeptical mind might come to this sort of different possibility, which is that maybe a ton of the cameras in the New York subway system don't work and they're just there for show, and saying that the ones in this station happen to be off is a way of trying to cover your ass a little bit. I don't know if there's any evidence pointing in that direction, but it seems like a more reasonable suspicion to have than what this caller is getting at. I know that I've worked at more than one low-paying job where they had cameras that definitely didn't work, and at least in one case, it only came out that the cameras weren't plugged in after someone needed footage to prove something.
Yeah.
It's not unheard of that companies do that kind of thing, but I think it's a stretch to assume that an entity as large as the MTA would do it. I'm not saying it's impossible. I'm saying it's a stretch. It's a stretch. But still,
never underestimate the underfunding of public transportation.
Sure, but I think that's still a far more reasonable conspiracy questioning,
totally,
I guess, angle to have on it than whatever they're talking about.
Absolutely,
this is like premeditation. They turned off the cameras here.
Yeah.
To what end?
Yeah. Here's your conspiracy. The government has been overtaken by the wealthy and has transformed itself into what amounts to a kleptocracy that steals money that would be going towards, say, public-funded issues like transportation and the like. And whenever you find out that it needed to be there, that's when you discover that essentially they're running on a goddamn skeleton of what's been ripped away from them.
I feel like that happens when a bridge collapses.
Yeah.
Anyway, this same caller has some other dumb ideas, and so does Alex.
They have all these videos of his social media. If he was some mastermind, why does he have all these videos basically saying he's crazy out there? And now it's suddenly this guy? It doesn't make sense to me, Alex.
Well, they got rid of the mental institutions in the 80s. There are a lot of crazy people, and the FBI did try to go after him, but higher-ups blocked it because it didn't fit the narrative. He'd been a white crazy. They'd have gone after him because that fits the narrative. I mean, I don't know if it was a staged event. I don't know if it was provocateur, but we'll continue to watch it as it develops. What else is on your mind, brother?
So first of all, no one's necessarily accusing James of being a mastermind. This was not the most intricately planned attack that has ever been seen. Mm. It was pretty blunt force,
yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah.
More importantly, though, it's really critical to look at what Alex is saying here about race. Alex's conjecture is that if Frank James had been white, the FBI wouldn't have killed that investigation into him, and that they only did that because he's black, so it doesn't fit the narrative that they want to push. What's going on here is that Alex is taking a fake piece of information that James was actually on this FBI watch list and using that to make the story fit his narrative. Alex is the one who's forcing things into a predetermined narrative and accepting bad information because it adheres to the conclusion that he already wants to be true.
Yeah.
Which is somehow that this would have been different if he was white.
Yep.
And that's because Alex is a racist.
This is purely in service of saying that the entire United States is prejudiced against white people.
Right. And that's Alex's belief.
Yep.
So we get to a little comment about Russia and Putin and the war.
Uh-huh. And how honest Putin is, how he's one of the most honest people there's ever been.
Alex didn't say that. You have no proof.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fair. It must have been a false flag.
You have no proof. Look. Memories aren't real.
Oh, that's a good point.
How can you prove that yesterday happened?
I hadn't considered that.
Yeah. So Alex is reporting that things are bad for Putin right now.
All right.
Currently, Putin is getting smashed. And I said Putin went into a trap when it first happened.
Right away.
This will make Afghanistan look like a cakewalk. That means Soros and the globalists are to blame for starting this. But it doesn't mean I'm going to go, oh, look, Putin's doing a great job. Oh, you're so smart to go in there. No, Putin's finding out. I mean, look, Putin's not dumb. I'll give you that. What did he think was waiting for him when he went into there? What did he think? all the special forces units of Europe and the Delta Force and the rest of them for a decade training the Ukrainians with high-tech weapons.
Yeah, but if you know that, why did you say that they were going to just all not have any opposition and because Russia had paid off everybody and there would be no fighting and it'd be over in 48 hours?
Yeah.
Why, if you knew that special forces had been training for a decade or whatever.
Right.
It's all nonsense. But I like the idea that Afghanistan's going to be an old-fashioned cakewalker.
I mean, wow. What is this crazy mixed-up world?
Mm. It's an old-fashioned cakewalker.
This is wild.
So there's a quick clarification that we need to make here. When the war was just starting, Alex did say that Putin had walked into a trap. But it wasn't about losing a war or the Ukrainian forces repelling an invasion. Alex was still saying that the Ukrainian military had been bought off and all that. When Alex said that Putin had walked into a trap, he was saying that by invading, Putin made himself vulnerable to being blamed for a cyber attack false flag that Alex was sure that Klaus Schwab was going to pull, presumably on the West.
Yeah.
Alex was very specific about this, and now he's trying to rewrite shit about like what the trap was.
Yeah. That's why you gotta really nail down the specifics of words, because when he says trap, he's talking about something in his head that you can bring into the conversation with something in your head, agree that they're both traps, and assume that Alex is talking about something correct.
Right.
Instead of being like, here's the problem. Okay. Putin is walking into a trap. What has happened? Zelensky has set up this box. Mm-hmm. Okay. And underneath it, he's got a plate with a cheese sandwich on it, and it's held up by a small stick. Putin, now, he doesn't even know. He can't see that. All he sees is a cheese sandwich, man.
Really thought you were going to involve like a marble at a chute.
There's no Rube Goldberg machine.
I was thinking just mousetrap.
But well, that's fair.
Oh, well.
All right, fine.
I'm going to have to soothe my wounds of disappointment with another caller.
I feel like now my riff gun is has backfired. This is brutal.
Like me at the Laugh Factory. So here's another caller. This person took their dad to the VA. Because they're worried about vaccine injury, and they think that their dad got VADS.
Oh.
Which does not exist.
No.
My father, I'm his power of attorney, and 2 years ago, he was riding his bike 9 miles a day.
Wow.
So very in shape, elderly, yes, but very in shape and exercise every day. And now he can barely walk to his mailbox without getting out of breath. So I took him to the VA. He's a former vet. And I wanted some blood work done because he's had 3 shots. And the doctor acted like I was crazy because I explained why I wanted this blood work done. And I had previously, before we went, I told my dad what I was concerned about, which is vaccine-induced autoimmune deficiency syndrome. And the doctor literally acted like I was crazy.
Yeah, they gaslight you, even though it's in all their literature and they know it's real. They gaslight you.
He acted like it was the first time he was hearing this information.
It's not in all their literature. I mean, like, look, I think that, you know, among people who are in the elderly set, sometimes a couple of years can be a really, there can be a turnaround. You know, like a lot can change in a, you know, relatively short amount of time.
Yeah.
There's a ton of reasons that other than vaccines that could be attributable to what this dude is experiencing.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, it sucks, but I think that she's jumped to some conclusions that are not founded. And if I were her doctor at the VA, I might also be a little bit like, I don't know if I want to humor this.
Yeah, I mean, you can't. What are you going to say to her? Like, hey, you know, have you ever tripped on a piece of sidewalk whenever the moon is full? Full moon didn't do that, but you remember the moon being full. You associated the two of those things together. Do you see where I'm going with the vaccines and your dad here?
Can you prove that the moon didn't do it?
Oh, shit. I am a bad doctor.
So she's come to a conclusion about what's going on. And also, I think that you know, with the whole conversation about HIPAA rights.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
I don't think that this is a HIPAA violation necessarily, because there's no identifying information.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Right.
But for these ding-dongs who talk about HIPAA all day long and complain about stuff, I would think that this would be an imaginary violation.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I'm not moving.
It's kind of, I can hear you better now. Start over with what's in the...
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you. Start over with what's in the report.
In the report, the T cells, I wanted to know his T cells, and they're low. The B cells, B as in boy, those are also low. The CD8 cells, those are your absolute suppressor cells, low. And then the T4, T8 ratio, high, and it's very high. So I looked up, what does T4, T8 ratio high mean? And I got instantly on WebMD, Hodgkin's lymphoma. So I want you and your listeners to know, as much hearsay as people are saying that, you know, it's not real, it's not affecting your T cells, I have proof that it is. And I feel horrible that I let him get this. It was out of my control, to be honest. The doctor.
Well, don't feel bad. That's what the German scientists have said, is that they found massive increases in lymphoma, Hodgkin's lymphoma.
To be clear, there's plenty of reasons that aren't lymphoma why someone would have a high ratio of these cells. For instance, you could have a viral infection that would cause the same test result. Typically, this is a ratio that's discussed not in the context of lymphoma, but in terms of HIV/AIDS, which makes sense because this woman did say that she was badgering this VA doctor to test her her dad for HIV stuff, so
right.
She thinks he has this non-existent condition of AIDS.
Right.
Interestingly, you generally find decreased ratios of these cells in patients with HIV or AIDS, so this test essentially is invalidating her entire argument that she came in with,
right,
which is why she had to run to WebMD to find a new thing to focus on and claim that her dad got from the vaccine.
Right.
There's no good evidence anywhere that COVID vaccines cause lymphoma, but I think Alex might just be getting confused because the vaccine can cause lymphadenopathy, which sounds similar, but is actually just swelling of the lymph nodes.
Right.
So I think that's probably what's going on here, although I do feel like this is very sad.
Yeah, this person is a victim, you know, like this is
of this information space.
Yeah. I mean, the education system failed, and it just every part from start to finish that leads you here is not just like her choices. This is a structural issue
maybe
to get here.
But I mean, the education system may not have failed her in many other ways. She may be very well informed and know a lot about a lot of things.
Sure.
I think you can be susceptible to a lot of dumb narratives.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know if that's necessarily a failing of the education system, but it's a failing of at least the people who disseminate information like Alex and wherever she's pulling from to have some kind of a responsibility.
Yeah.
To hold themselves accountable for what they're putting out. And she is a victim of that for sure.
100%.
And I feel for her, but I also think...
She's just a person in panic whose father is, I mean, to all parents is dying, you know, like, of course.
Trying to find some way to make the anti-vax argument fit her particular case.
Yep.
And it's just a bummer.
It's sad, yeah.
So Alex gets another call from someone named Vern, and I got excited because I wanted to do an earnest thing.
Of course.
Hey, Vern. Anyway, here's the call.
Vern in Texas. Thank you, Vern.
Hi, Alex. Thank you for taking my call. I'm not transgender. My real name is Veronica, but short for Vern.
Hey, Vern.
Listen, I wanted to... I saw Dr. Artis on...
I don't know what you mean.
Several interviews he did on the 11th. Sue Peters and Vandersall. Brighton with Mike Adams. You really need to get him on your show.
I know. He went on Owen Schroyer's show. I've heard snake venom. I think snake venom's in the water.
Yes, yes. And, you know, the amount of evidence he presents to substantiate his claim is remarkable. And the information actually has been out there on the Internet since January 2020.
So this is about Stu Peters' conspiracy documentary called Watch the Water, which features a chiropractor named Brian Artis and apparently claims that COVID has to do with snake venom and the devil. Here's a synopsis of the documentary from Stu Peters' page.
Okay.
Quote, the plandemic continues, but its origins are still a nefarious mystery. How did the world get sick? How did COVID really spread? And did the satanic elite tell the world about this bioweapon ahead of time? Dr. Brian Artis has unveiled a shocking connection between this pandemic and the eternal battle of good and evil, which began in the Garden of Eden.
Wow. Snake venom, huh?
Yep. Naturally, Artis is using this documentary to sell a collection of supplements. That
Well, you got to sell supplements.
And he calls it the Anti-V Collection.
Oh, my God.
And you can get it for a limited time sale price of $109. Suffice it to say, this is overpriced. Apparently, after the backlash of people making fun of the documentary, claiming that the vaccine was meant to inject people with Satan's DNA,
right.
Artis decided that he should do some damage control. So now he's come out and say that he's been done dirty by Peter's documentary and it doesn't accurately capture his claims.
Sure, sure.
That said, a giant ad for the documentary is still on the top of Artis's homepage, which leads into a big ad for the Anti-V collection. So I guess he's not really that opposed to it.
Just because I was, publicity is good publicity. I got to sell these $110 pills.
Sure.
Man. I'll take what I can get.
Limited time sale price.
Jesus.
Yeah, but he got done dirty by Stu Peters saying that this has to do with the Garden of Eden or some shit.
I like the snake venom conspiracy because that gives me some sort of hope. Like, one thing that is true about snake venom and creating anti-venom is that there's just not a lot of it, and it's really hard to get. It's really hard to milk venom, and there's a shortage of all kinds of venom in across the United States.
Right.
So in this scenario, someone out there is milking enough venom to poison the world, which suggests that we won't have to worry about snake bites anymore.
Have you considered the Tom Hardy movie?
Yes, I have. Which one? The Venom into Carnage?
I don't know. Haven't seen any
second
of them.
One? Oh, man. They're great. So Tom Hardy's amazing.
So this is giving you some kind of optimism.
Yeah.
And I will say that I'm a little bit optimistic, too, because in response to this call, Alex says, like, this is bullshit.
A series of coincidences, remarkable coincidences, truly inspired by God, like, led him to this supposition. And then after that, he was able to kind of methodically prove that coronavirus is actually snake venom, specifically the krait snake and the cobra snake. And what's interesting
Let me ask you a question, and I'm not poo-pooing this, but I've interviewed the top scientists.
I am.
The viral scans, major universities. They made a virus. Viruses are able to replicate in the body. So do you know how much snake venom you'd have to put in a water supply to have these type of blood clotting effects and things? That a snake bite would do. You know, a snake bites you, it pumps in, you know, say a tenth of an ounce of venom into you or half an ounce, and then it makes you have blood clots and your leg rots off and you die. I'm not poo-pooing this one. We'll get artists on. I know it's the big thing right now. But to say that snake venom is being dumped in the water supply, it's diluted and it breaks down electrochemically very quickly. What you want is a virus because it replicates in the body, so it spreads quickly.
Yeah, because venom's not contagious.
Yeah, yeah. here's how bad it is.
A theory?
Your hole in that plot is so big, not even Alex can walk through it safely.
He doesn't think it's worth patching up.
Yeah, no, can't.
And I think Alex rightly recognizes, like, well, if I were to accept this, it undoes everything I've been saying.
Yeah.
It completely upends everything that I claim I've proved over the course of the the pandemic. And so I can't do this one.
Also, come on.
Yes.
Come on.
Yeah.
That would be the most reasonable response, I think, from Alex, would just be like, come on, get out of here.
I actually think it's fairly generous the way he's responding to her because it's, I'm not poo-pooing this, is meant to be sort of a softening of the blow.
I know.
And then the like, you understand how much venom it would take, and also viruses replicate, and you need that.
So they do it on their own.
Right.
Yeah.
It's kind of nice that he's not just being like, this is fucking dumb.
I mean, yeah, it is a little bit disconcerting to have him immediately say the most obvious thing, which is, we don't have enough venom to do that, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
No one does.
Yeah, there's an element of critical thinking that he's engaging with this theory on, and I find it offensive that he's capable of it in some circumstances
Indeed.
And not in
no,
others.
Totally.
Second, there's an element of grace that he's showing
sure.
towards this caller.
It's not combative.
No, and it shows that there is a possibility that he can act that way towards people.
Which is fucked up.
It is.
Yep.
Although less unexpected is the I'll still interview him because everyone is talking about
well,
this.
Sure. I mean, you got to.
Yeah.
You got to see what he's got to say.
I got to chase that clout.
You got to hear a man out.
Yeah.
He's a top scientist in his field of chiropractic.
Blah, 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 blah. He and Dr. Group went to conferences together and drank piss.
Yeah, I bet. I bet they did.
So Alex gets another caller. And boy, I think a lot of people... You know, sometimes if you don't engage with Alex's material and you don't listen to his show, you don't recognize how goddamn religiously insane this show is.
Yeah.
Listen to this caller.
Alex Jones, my brother in Christ. How are you today, sir?
I'm good, brother. Thank you for calling.
Absolutely. The Lord put on my heart to call and give you an exhortation and just let you know, besides
Boo.
The gift of the Spirit, you're a crusader, a modern-day crusader for these times before the return of our Lord and Savior. As you know, and you have spoke, we're in the days of Noah, or the days of Lot, and many are just not awake, but you, as a crusader, are leading those as a type like Noah, as they came up to the sea. They looked behind them. Pharaoh's army was there. Today, that's our evil. And in front is a sea that is impenetrable. He, as the word says, knew that God will make a way. And he parted the sea, and he made it across. You're leading people in that way into the light, into the truth. And that's going to lead to great and mighty things.
Wasn't that Moses?
Yeah.
That wasn't Noah?
Nope. Noah's the flood guy.
Right, right. He had the boat.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's something troubling about, like, when you understand what Alex is actually disseminating as information, for people to interpret it and experience it as, like, you're fucking Moses, man.
Yeah.
It's,
You know, sometimes
it's troubling.
I think, you know, like, listen to this. Listen to the way this man is speaking and what he's saying about Alex. And then just go back in time and think... Maybe Moses was just an asshole who said he did all this shit and convinced enough people to believe it, and then everybody forgot that he was full of shit.
Hmm. Hmm. I just don't like hearing this shit on Alex's show. That's all. It just makes me uncomfortable.
Well, there's definitely that.
So Alex has a guest coming up, another guest, or I guess a guest, because he hasn't had a guest yet this episode. But it is somebody we have not talked about in a little bit.
Uh-huh.
He is somebody who likes to get permits for stages.
Sure.
Way fewer people than he plans to bring there.
Fraudulently, you might say.
Certainly suspiciously close to fraud.
Yeah.
Somebody who likes to get the torch passed to him from Roger
sure.
Stone.
Mustache aficionado.
I think yeah, you could say that.
Yeah.
Ali Alexander is back. And Alex's introduction for him is perfect.
Ali Alexander is the editorial consultant for culture.com, political consultant, philosopher, and activist. He's been consulting for Republican campaigns, conservative issues for more than 13 years, and he's been doing it at the national level. But now he's much more interested in philosophy and building a better society. GiveSinGo.com/Ali Alexander, Gab, Truth Social at Ali, Telegram, and more. He joins us now.
Good pivot. Good pivot.
I'm a philosopher.
Yeah.
Sure.
I was previous to this a
sure.
Deeply embedded right wing political activist
right.
who was you know, coordinating with Paul Gosar and all these other weirdos, and you know, I was involved in campaigns
right.
and stuff like that. I was a apparatchik,
sure.
Alex might say. But no, I'm into philosophy now because shit got too hot.
Dan, are you saying that you don't think people can change?
Not Allie.
Nope. What is his philosophy that he's pivoted to that is going to really kind of blow our minds and make us forget that he's a monster?
That's a fantastic question.
I want to know.
You have a notepad.
I will.
And I think you should take notes over the course of some of these clips
okay.
and see if you can determine what his philosophy is.
Get an idea of what Allie Alexanderism might
yes.
be.
Okay. Yeah. So the first clip, maybe not so much philosophical, but it has to do with reports that his Periscope channel, like the videos aren't available anymore.
Yeah, well, you know, it's absolutely fascinating to me. I have my Periscope videos. I was one of the most popular people on the Periscope service. And they have all these videos. And now the press reports it as now deleted videos. Twitter deleted my
videos. Yeah, like Ollie, I saw it. Ollie Alexander, national news, hiding videos. You were bitching when they took your channel.
Yeah. So
when I got sued, I've been sanctioned. Like, you got rid of your YouTube. You're sanctioned. No, they did that.
Yeah, they took it away.
A news article saying that Ali's videos have since been deleted doesn't necessarily imply that he did the deleting. I get that he's sensitive, but this is a little sad. Also, Alex's situation is entirely different. The reason he's in trouble here is because when he was sued, there was an order for the preservation of materials related to the lawsuit. This was prior to his YouTube channel coming down, and in the intermediate period, no one took any action to preserve the videos that were on the channel that were relevant to the case, and so they cannot be found now. No one is mad at him for deleting videos. The issue is that he failed in his duty to preserve evidence. It's a pretty big difference, but if Alex gives the appearance of understanding the distinction, it becomes too obvious that the courts aren't oppressing him at all and that his actions have brought him into the situation that he's in, and that's an intolerable conclusion for the audience to have.
Yeah. Yeah, don't do that.
No. So they can just be like, oh, I will say I deleted videos.
They think that they're smart and making me look dumb, but they're dumb and I'm not dumb. You're dumb.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, dummy.
So before this, a couple days before this, it was announced that Ali was going to be cooperating with the January 6th committee.
Right.
He wants to give a very opposite perspective or position on this appearance.
Sure.
Because I don't think that plays well. Although Alex has said he's going to parlay with the FBI.
Right. Well, I mean, I assume Ali is thinking of the great Marcus Aurelius whenever Marcus said, you know, you gotta pay the piper.
That was St. Augustine.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Man, this is why Ali is the philosopher and not me.
You've got to go with more religiously
That's a good point.
Stuff with Ali.
Yeah. The Stoics weren't really his bag, huh?
Mm-hmm. And so Ali has a bit of news to break about what the Jan 6 committee is actually up to.
Let me go ahead and break some news. I've not told any reporter this, and only my lawyers and I are aware of this, but the January 6th committee is going to try to outlaw Bitcoin. Okay, they're gonna. I mean, this is
a
this
thing
sounds
they
kind of crazy,
do.
But
just
this,
like Canada.
But this is where
way.
This is leading. And I knew this in December. Okay, but I want to break it here on InfoWars. So what you're going to see the committee do? They're going to say, well, Donald Trump did this, Roger Stone did this, Rudy did this, Ali did this, Alex did this. Here's criminal referrals. Here's things we're not going to criminally refer, but we really like. Wink, wink. Nudge, nudge. The Justice Department to move on. And here are 10 policy recommendations to keep the right wing from ever organizing again. You're going to see recommendations in there that try to outlaw Telegram, try to outlaw or censor Bitcoin, increase the regulatory environment for Bitcoin so that it's harder for more Americans to get in while the rest of the world competes with us on this sovereign currency. I mean, it's
very astute.
Very astute. So this is Ali playing a preemptive defense game, because I suspect that he has a pretty good idea that there were some shady fucking transactions involving groups that were involved in January 6th that were done by Bitcoin, and the Telegram is a platform that a lot of them use to plan and incite people.
Mm.
This is an attempt to hijack that conversation before it even happens, because the ultimate end of it is threatening to some aspects of Ali's brand. That's
right.
All he's doing here.
Right.
I wouldn't be too surprised, though, if there were conversations in the not-too-distant future about more regulation and oversight of Bitcoin, but
sure.
I don't know how much of that's going to involve the Jan 6 committee. It seems like that's just long overdue, and
yeah.
There'll be some kind of a financial nightmare that comes along, probably to do with NFTs.
Right.
And
yeah.
We'll end up in a situation where we're like, well, we've got to
Something.
Make sure this doesn't happen again.
Yeah. One thing on my philosophy watch.
Ooh,
here.
Nice.
He disagrees, I would imagine, with Lao Tzu insofar as he does not agree that one who speaks does not know, because he sure fucking talks a lot.
I think that you're right, although I don't think that would be formally codified in his philosophy.
I'm writing it down. That's step one.
Okay. I think another part of the philosophy that you'll see is like, you know, kind of a Bobby McFerrin ass, don't worry, be happy.
Sure.
Kind of vibe.
I like it.
I'm really happy to be in studio today, and I'm happy to be with you. One, because, you know, it's good to be next to somebody who's going through some of the same hell that we are. But I think I've done this whole 15 months wrong. a lot of it's been, woe is me, why isn't the conservative movement doing this or that? And then I've been watching the series The Chosen, which has been really good, and I've been getting some counseling from some Christian friends, and they're just like, you got to smile through this more, Ali. And so, you know, I think that like that's my task. That's kind of my cross to bear right now. But everybody, if you're listening to this, you are a part of this and you can play a role in this. You need to red pill your neighbor. You need to make prophetic statements about the J6 committee and what going to do to you and your neighbors, so that when that time comes around, your neighbor says, wow, that person's right. What channel do they watch? Well, they watch InfoWars.
You need to make prophetic statements
right.
that will later be used to promote InfoWars.
Right, right. I think number two is eat, drink, and be merry for tomorrow we die.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he loves Zach Pictetus. I think that's where we're going
from
here.
I thought you were talking about Dave Matthews Band.
I was, well, they're one and two in my book on philosophers.
There's whatever you
and
said.
And they switch back and forth.
Whatever you said and trippin' billions.
Hey, what are you going to say? I'm just going to two-step. Into this crash.
All right.
Those are my two Dave Matthews Band songs.
So Ali has a belief that the GOP, they don't want to lose the midterms.
Right.
But also, they don't want to win too much.
Well, obviously.
Because if they win too much,
people will want them to do things.
That's how I would interpret it.
Right.
Ali interprets it more as, like, if they win too much, then the people who are going to have major power are, like, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Paul Gosar.
Right.
These fringe figures will have more of an influence, whereas if they have a small victory,
right,
then Kevin McCarthy will stay being able to whip people into place to get things accomplished. Whereas I don't think that makes much sense, because if they have a small victory, then the conservative people like
individuals have more power,
far more, because they will be deciding factor whether or not something actually.
Yeah, I mean, that's the exact opposite of how it actually works.
You bet.
Yeah,
but that is what Ali is promoting, or what he's suggesting.
That is a prophetic statement that later on will get people to listen to InfoWars.
A very small victory would be the best thing possible for the fringe voices.
100%.
But no, the GOP only wants that.
Ah, you have to think about it this way. If Kevin McCarthy gets too large a red wave, the conservatives are in control. If Kevin McCarthy just gets a little off the tip top, then he's in control. And then we're just going to have horrible legislation. They're not going to go on offense. We're not going to have a committee that investigates the summer riots. We're not going to have a reverse J6 committee to investigate the insurrection that happened on November 3rd and the FBI setup that happened on January 6th. We're not going to have any of that. So what they're trying to do, and this is what Mitt Romney and Liz Cheney are doing, they're setting us up for a tiny red wave so that they can control it. And then 2024 will all be about pinning DeSantis and Trump against each other by taking Trump off of a ballot or two. I mean, this is the coup, part three.
And what's frustrating is, Ali, you are a very successful political analyst. People respect you.
Yeah.
I like that at the end.
I mean, that is so dumb.
Yeah.
Like, that is something that if you said that in any kind of reasonable space, the person sitting across from you would have to laugh at you.
Well, I mean, I think that some of these priorities that Ali has are just never going to happen anyway.
Right, for sure.
Whether you had a giant majority in the House or not. But I think that the possibility of having some, like, trivial-ass going-nowhere committee or something like that, Marjorie Taylor Greene wants to start.
Totally.
I think the likelihood of that is much higher if there's a small victory, because she could use whatever leverage she has in terms of passing something that is a priority for Kevin McCarthy into, like, you have to put me on this thing, and I will go along with your caucus.
Right.
Like, it doesn't make any sense.
It appears that Ali does not understand how negotiating power structures function. Like, the more you need from me and the more power I have, the more likely I am to get what I want in exchange for giving you what you want.
Right.
It's very simple.
Like, if there is a 60% Republican thing in the House, your one vote does not really hold as much clout as it would in the alternative. So I don't know, but I love the...
Which is why Joe Manchin is singularly capable of destroying the world right now.
Because
seems
that way.
The less your majority is, the more likely you are to have somebody...
The more important individuals
are. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
The thing I love, though, is the you know, people take you seriously, and Ali's like, yeah!
I know they do!
He's so excited.
Because I'm so smart!
So we'll talk a little bit here about January 6th defendants. And Ali says something that I think is deeply problematic.
And so let me tell the government this. Yes, I regularly talk to J6 defendant lawyers, over 30 of them. And they tell me about the evidence that they're looking at on these secure laptops. And they're not allowed to make it public. So they can't talk to anybody about it. They can't screenshot it. They can't do anything. The judges won't let it. And this evidence in one case would exonerate five other cases. So what you're watching is a slow-moving train wreck of plea deals. And what happens is...
And if they set the precedent for this, it's the model for all the rest of the country.
Right. And so what happens is, let's say I get 20 plea deals. Well, then this next person takes the plea deal. And then they get a harsher sentence because they didn't, or they get get taken to a jury trial or a bench trial, and then they get convicted, and then they get a harsher sentence because they have to have a harsher sentence than the plea deal. And so what happens is when the exonerating information comes out here, and then all these people who got a plea deal say, well, actually we want to revisit it. The judges say, no, we're gonna quash that motion. We're gonna quash that.
If there's actual evidence that's exonerating that these lawyers are in possession of, they could get it in front of a judge, even if it is confidential or something like that. If they have this, they'd be able to present it. And the only way they wouldn't is if they didn't attempt to. I suspect that what Ali is talking about isn't so much evidence as it is heavy insinuation. This is the kind of thing that is called evidence on InfoWars, but probably wouldn't play in an actual court. It's kind of persuasive in the court of public opinion. Mm. I feel like that's what Ali is talking about.
Yeah.
Also, if Ali is telling the truth and January 6th defense lawyers are leaking privileged information to him that he's then discussing on InfoWars, that is a gigantic confidentiality problem, and there could be some real consequences for that.
Yeah.
These lawyers might be risking disbarment, which honestly wouldn't be too surprising, considering that Ali's last lawyer, Jonathan Mosley, was just disbarred for breaking 6 rules of professional conduct.
Sure.
Yeah, so I don't know. If I were him, I would stop insinuating that you're in contact with lawyers who are doing things that would probably get them disbarred.
It is kind of amazing that despite the massive amount of consequences coming their way through the legal system, none of them have really spent enough time like educating themselves on how this is going to work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like there's so many things where you're like, no, what?
But in
what
this,
are you doing?
But in this case, I think Ali's just talking shit. So, I mean, I don't think that he's...
That's probably true.
I don't think he's actually putting any of these lawyers in jeopardy. I think that... What he's not saying anything specific, but he's being he's showing a posture of revealing privileged information.
Sure.
And that I think could be something that courts do not look at fondly.
It doesn't go over well.
No, maybe not disbarment, but certainly some kind of a censure.
I mean, I'm imagining that it's not quite putting out $1 million bounty, but
yeah.
Yeah.
That's actually totally cool. Apparently.
Yeah, 100%.
So, do you own any camo clothing?
No, I do not.
Good.
I have never been needing to disappear into the woods.
That means that you still get to protest.
Yay!
If you wear camouflage to a rally from now on, you get what's called an FBI threat tag. Okay? That hasn't always been the case. Think about this. We survived the Tea Party. We survived the Gifford shooting. We survived all of those controversies where still you could wear militia gear and not automatically get tagged. Now, because of January 6th and what they did to our beautiful, peaceful protest, if you wear camouflage at any protest across this country and the FBI can identify you, you get what's called an FBI threat tag associated with you, and you get an FBI profile created for you.
He sounds like an excited, angry baby.
Yeah, I mean, people complain about me being screaming and loud all the time, but Jesus, that's annoying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, like, I think that I am flabbergasted. The idea that the FBI would open files on anybody who wore camo at a protest.
I mean,
it's ludicrous.
Yeah,
the waste of resources that would be typifying is just.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that our government likes to waste resources.
Sure,
but
no,
this is an unthinkable level of waste.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose maybe the best you could say for that is just like, yeah, the people who did the whole, you know, zip tie, handcuffs, and everything. They were tagged for good reason. And it wasn't just because they were camo.
They weren't tagged. They were arrested.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
But that's more individual. It's based on actions, not clothing.
Right. Whatever.
Yeah.
That's insane.
You know how many camo designs
but
exist?
I mean, what is camo? If
Great
you're going to do that, if you're going to say that, what is camo?
Well, I mean, you know? I guess in some spheres, if you wore like a pattern of a chain link fence, that could be camo.
Exactly. If you were one of those pictures that had people paint you and until you disappeared into the background.
That seems like maybe a Taskmaster episode.
Yeah. I mean, wouldn't real camo be like wearing a regular ass T-shirt and jeans?
Well, you're going to get on the FBI's list for that.
Exactly.
Anyway. This is where I think some philosophy comes in. So pay close attention.
All right, I will.
Ali Alexander, how do we stop a civil war that globalists are trying to trigger? How do we de-escalate this?
Well, you know, I want to answer the question you just asked. What happened January 6th? I don't know. And I'm actually convinced.
Sorry?
That some of the conspiracy ends and then Satan's domain starts. Because you follow this stuff way more than I have, and you've done it for over 25 years. And I have a great understanding of campaigns, large organizations, and government. But I don't see something like this fully cooperating with each other without a supernatural force influencing everything.
Yeah.
Here's what I say. Guilty. That's what I say to that. I mean, honestly... All evidence, all trial based, everything is done. That guy said that because he did it. Duh. Come on.
I mean,
come on. You don't say that. Not even a crazy person says that unless they did it. That's a did it thing to say. You might as well have been like, I wanted to over. Yeah, that was me.
A conspiracy goes so far, but then Satan.
Guilty.
Because how can people do things if they're not supernatural? It's too many people.
Jail him, sir. Bailiff.
Yeah. Allie is a little bit much. I think that listening to this, I started to realize that I didn't miss him.
I hate him. This is the worst.
Though I do think that he is the kind of cat who comes on and ends up, saying the quiet part loud a little bit.
Alex, I was talking to someone. I was talking to a conservative publisher, and I explained to that conservative publisher, you don't need to convince the public. They need to chill white women who have ping pong between the two parties, and that affects like 30 or 40 different districts in America. So it's like Fulton County, it's Orange County in California, and that means the difference of this many seats. And so they're targeting white women, okay, with these things. And white women don't like scandals, they don't like the accusation of being called a racist, but they don't like CRT. So right now we have CRT turning out white women in record numbers for the Republicans.
We've got to hammer CRT.
Yeah, we got to hammer it. You know, if I was advising, some of these giant Republican organizations, I would say CRT is something that the Tea Party stopped the steal and Trump wasn't.
Because these white women know their little five-year-old white babies aren't a racist.
They know their babies ain't a racist, and they know they don't want them to come home and call them a racist, okay?
I think this is a little cynical.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's...
So I think that's kind of just a good summation of how this operates. And I think that you hear similar things that aren't as craven and cynical in terms of like what messaging surrounding Medicare for all is.
Right.
What messaging is most attractive to X, Y, or Z? But that's. Largely surrounding an issue that is real.
Yeah.
Whereas CRT and all that stuff is a manufactured problem that they're like, oh, yes, if we drive this messaging surrounding this non-issue, it scares white women and it'll inspire enough to vote that we can flip a couple things.
Yeah. I mean, the just this idea that, it does not matter if CRT means anything.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter if what we're talking about is educating people about racism.
Mm-hmm.
It does not. That's nowhere important.
Right.
What's important is making people think that if you go to school, your kids are going to tell you you're a racist.
Wah, wah, mom, you're racist.
Exactly. Yeah. And then the mom's going to be like, well, we've got to vote for Republicans so they can dominate the critical race theory, and then that would lower the status of, so, okay, so they're just racists.
Mm.
Yep.
So, Allie, there's one last clip here, and Allie has an interesting take on how people like you and me, I would guess, if he was to talk to us, he would look at us as like cavemen. We're backwards thinking folks, whereas people like him who want a religiously ordered society, basically yes. a theocracy,
right?
They're the real innovators. They are the real forward thinking people
on.
Who have like a
stop one.
Okay, eh.
There has to be a change in our consciousness. I'm not one of these New Age Christ consciousness folks or whatever.
No, but it's true. When we all change our consciousness and get it,
yeah.
that's when we win.
Yeah, and that's what we have to do. And that's what Jesus did in contrast to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He said, there's a different way to abide by the law. And by the way, now it's universal. And so we need to have a different way of saying, we believe in these archetypes and we believe in these traditions, and you don't need to pay attention to the Republican label or the conservative label anymore. These work for humanity. They've led to a population of 7 billion people, and we should applaud that. And we want to go to 10 billion. We need to.
We want to go interstellar. Exactly. Yeah. So there's a move, though, to get rid of what works because the globalists have their new model they want to bring in, transhumanism.
It's super weird because they're archaic. They are everything
they're the pagans.
They're the cavemen. You know, we're the people who are dreaming.
Loving and coming together.
Yeah.
They claim we're not.
Yeah. You know, like, let's not forget, it was the church that added harmony to music. It was the church that funded art that led to the Renaissance. And so in a lot of ways, we are always seeking on the right to commune with God in innovative ways that don't get rid of tradition that roots us at a civil society.
That's fascinating.
Oh,
I think Allie might want to unpack how the church was like the only people who had money at a certain time to fund certain things like arts.
Interesting.
And I think you might want to also take a little bit of a step back and recognize a massive censorship that was involved in what the church would fund.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
I don't think he would necessarily. Oh, I guess he probably would, because it would be censoring things that he was opposed to. So
sure.
He'd probably be fine with that kind of rank centralized censorship.
No, he wouldn't, because they would be censoring things that he himself likes for him, but he does not want the culture to enjoy. And when this happens, as it always does, people go, oh, wait, I didn't know you were going to do that. This has gotten out of my control, and now we have a pope.
yeah, maybe that's true. Maybe that's true. But yeah, I think his conception is a little bit limited in terms of the extent to which the church was interested in the arts.
I mean, as somebody, well, you know, I'm an appreciator of music.
That's true.
For somebody to claim straight-facedly...
The church brought
the
harmony?
The church brought harmony to music is an insult of... I don't know what level of proportion can exist, but it is that proportion.
Well, I looked into it, and I regret to inform you that the church invented harmony.
Really?
No.
Holy shit. That's crazy. How did they do it? Was it the angels?
Yes.
Oh, that would make sense.
I don't know. No. And I also think it's really silly to claim that Christianity is responsible for there being 7 billion people in the world.
I mean, the things that he just said there are so ridiculous to claim that I mean, he would... If he was ever pressed to actually believe that stuff...
Or explain himself.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He'd be like, well, you know, I was saying this...
Right, and
you know.
I think that's one of the things that I've brought up about Allie in the past a number of times.
Yeah.
He's just a shit-talking extremist.
Yeah.
Like, he's just a zealot, and it's really outrageous, some of the stuff that he ends up saying. First of all, some of it's just dumb.
Yeah.
And then some of it is stuff like January 6th had to be the devil's doing, because how do you coordinate all these people
guilty.
Without a supernatural force?
Your Honor, guilty.
Right.
Yeah. Like,
okay, man.
Wow.
Why do you talk publicly?
I mean, you know, it is kind of an example of something that always exists in this type of a movement, which is just a person who's willing to say anything.
I think that they have a lot of those people.
Well, yeah, I mean, well, yeah. Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, I think their movement
anything.
Is lousy with those people.
Right, but I mean, anything.
Yeah.
Just anything.
Yep.
Wild.
Yep.
How do you go to sleep at night You know, people ask that whenever they talk to serial killers and that kind of thing. And I think they're serial killers. They probably sleep just fine. I'm talking about Ali. How does he sleep at night? His brain has to just be filled with, like, reasons that people hate him, right?
He sleeps on... I was going to try and go into a mattress ad. I don't know.
Yeah.
These people are a mystery to me. I think they have some trouble coming.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we'll see. Anyway, Jordan, we'll be back for another episode, but we have reached the end of this one, and Alex in the present sucks.
Yep.
Sucks.
Truth.
Shitty coverage of the subway shooting, shitty phone calls, and shitty conversation with Ali Alexander.
Oh, yeah.
Woof.
Yeah.
But hopefully greener pastures next time, huh? Hey, look, that deep exhale... I got some good news.
That's a hopeful deep exhale.
Okay, well, I'm hopeful about the dreamy, creamy summer.
It's going to be a good one.
It is upon us.
It is happening.
Well, I guess it's not yet, actually, because we got a couple days left.
420. Yep.
But, hey, we'll be back on 420, I think.
Is that true?
I think so.
We will be back inaugurating the dreamy, creamy summer.
I might actually end up eating an ice cream thing on the next episode.
I think you would have to.
I might.
Yep.
But we'll find out then. Until then, we have a website.
We do. It's knowledgefight.com.
Yep, we're also on Twitter.
We are on Twitter. It's @knowledge_fight, and @GoToBedJordan.
Yep, we'll be back. But until then, I'm Neo. I'm Leo. I'm DZX Clark. I am not fucking buying your chili. You can't make me.
And now here comes the sex robot.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.